Is the left trying to take over America? Well, yes. Are they possibly trying to egg America into a new civil war? In April of 1861, after several states had already seceded from the Union in protest of the election of Abraham Lincoln as president, shots were fired at the Union-held Fort Sumter outside of Charleston, South Carolina. This was the spark of the Civil War. Author Robert Spencer, a best-selling author, by the way, best known for his critiques on radical Islam, has written a new book called The Sumter Gambit. He's going to join us now to discuss this whole issue. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Robert Spencer, we welcome you back to the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Always good to talk to you, Jerry.
Yeah, you too, especially you. Yeah, you're amazing. Okay, here's what your book says. What is the Sumter Gambit? It's the concerted effort by the left to push the most extreme policies and ideologies into American public life while simultaneously labeling any opposition to the overreach as treason. Gosh, that sounds like what we've been seeing in the last couple of years here.
Yeah, absolutely. And the idea is to touch off a new Fort Sumter moment, where the something that conservatives and patriots do is taken to be another insurrection, maybe even a more serious one this time, or an actual one this time, and the left cracks down and extends its authoritarian agenda using this as a pretext. And so it would touch off essentially a new civil war. And that's what they very much want, because they hope that in pushing patriots into doing something that would allow them to extend the authoritarian agenda, then they can crush all dissent.
January 6, 2021 was a terrible incident, and it's just, you know, it's what a mess. And, you know, but the bottom line is, as Victor Davis Hanson put it, if this is an insurrection, it was basically like a bunch of people going in for selfies. And, you know, it wasn't a justifiable thing. It wasn't good that they did that. Certainly anybody that did any damage, like, you know, breaking the windows or any kind of, you know, hitting anybody and so forth. But it wasn't exactly the insurrection it's often made out to be. Your thoughts?
It wasn't even close, Jerry. There wasn't a plan to overthrow the government. There wasn't a leader. The thing is blamed on Trump, and yet Trump told them expressly to proceed peacefully. There was no evidence ever uncovered in meticulous and relentless investigations that anybody planned to overthrow the government or to install Trump as a dictator or something like that. What, the guy in the Viking hat was going to overthrow the government? There was not only no planning, there were no weapons. The doors were opened for the protesters. The whole idea that this was some tremendous threat to the very life of the republic is pure hysteria and propaganda. And it's exactly the kind of thing that I'm talking about in the Sumter Gambit, that this is an attempt to portray opposition to the left's agenda as treasonous and outlaw it accordingly.
How do you think the American people feel about that, about January 6th?
I don't think that they care, because they know, they saw it. The whole thing was abundantly televised, and they saw what happened. And it's notable that the January 6th committee hearings got very low ratings. People just don't care. They see through it. They know that this is just a political ploy to try to smear opposition to Biden and his colleagues. And I don't think that they're tremendously, that this indicates that they're tremendously committed to the other side either, but they just don't buy all this, the narrative that's being spread.
Are there some constitutional provisions that are not being provided to some of those prisoners who are held in, you know, for the January 6th thing, where they're not getting due process or whatever?
Yeah, this is the worst travesty of justice in this whole thing, that there are people who have been held all this time since January 6, 2021, without charge, without trial. They have not been charged, above all, with insurrection. Nobody has. And so their whole insurrection doesn't have any insurrection. But these people are being treated as if they were the most dangerous criminals on the planet and held in inhuman conditions. It's the kind of thing that you hear about in third world countries. And it's a shame, a great mark of dishonor on the United States of America that this is happening here and that nobody really seems to care.
What inspired you to write this book? I mean, was it these kinds of observations, the way the, you know, It is a terrible thing. I mean, I like bananas and I like republics, but I don't like banana republics, and I don't appreciate anybody trying to turn America into one.
Yeah, well, that's exactly it, Jerry. I mean, I've been working in Islam for all these years, trying to alert people to the nature and the magnitude of the threat from Islamic jihadis. And this is, in a certain sense, the same thing. It's a tremendous threat to our freedoms. The left is operating according to the principle of accuse your enemy of what you yourself are guilty of. And so they're the real insurrectionists. They're the ones that are threatening the life of the republic. And I'm trying to sound the alarm.
Well, you know, just take an example. Here we were just talking a moment ago about the January 6th offenders, you know, behind bars and so forth. Look, they never did anything, it seems, to investigate all those rioters who actually killed people and destroyed billions of dollars worth of of property and so forth in the riots of 2020. It was a terrible thing.
Well, exactly. I mean, this is the naked hypocrisy of the left, that the rioters in 2020 served their agenda and were on their side. And they were working to give the impression that Trump's America was ungovernable, was in a state of essential rebellion, that if people wanted to see law and order restored, they had to vote for the Democrats. They served their purpose. And so they face no prosecution, because it was really all about just advancing the left's propaganda. And so the January 6th protesters, because they are on the other side, they get exactly the opposite treatment. And it's increasingly clear we have a two-tier justice system in the United States today, and people who are on the left just don't get the same kind of legal scrutiny, much less prosecution, that people on the right routinely receive.
That is so true. I mean, you can just see it in the example of, you know, Hunter Biden and the, you know, 10% for the big guy, quote unquote. Why don't you take the table of contents, or just kind of give us an overview, if you would, of your book, The Sumter Gambit?
Well, you know, Jerry, we've been talking about the political aspects, and that's a big part of the book, but they're also the cultural aspects. And what the left is trying to do is force us to accept their insane cultural program, the transgender madness, the drag queens in primary schools, and all the rest of it. And if we speak up, if we protest, then here again, they use that as evidence that we are treasonous, that we are insurrectionists. The clearest evidence of this is the fact that Merrick Garland's Justice Department actually began terror investigations. They began investigating angry parents at school board meetings who were protesting the LGBTQ whatever agenda in schools, and they were investigated as terrorists. You know, it all started actually 10 years ago in the Obama administration, when the counter-terror program was renamed Countering Violent Extremism. Now, the danger of the term violent extremism is that anybody can be called a violent extremist. And as a matter of fact, I myself am on the list now as a violent extremist, even though I've never called for or approved of or participated in any violence. And this is an indication of what the left is trying to do. The Countering Violent Extremism program is elastic. It can be made to apply to anybody, and the left is applying it to people who dissent from its agenda. So the people at the school board meetings are now violent extremists, and they have to be investigated as terrorists. Here again, they're pushing us toward civil conflict, because they're rapidly working to take away all the means of peaceful resolution of the problems and divisions that we face in the society. Now, here again, I'm not calling for or advocating any violence, but I think that they must know that at a certain point, some people are going to be violent, and then they plan to use that as a pretext for even more authoritarianism.
How does critical race theory fit into all this?
That's another thing that the parents were protesting in the schools. And so we either have to acquiesce to this, and accept the divisions in American society that it would bring about, and the mutual hatreds and resentments and so on that all this victimhood mongering and all this false history about 400 years of slavery and the 1619 project. America, the United States of America, was not founded in 1619. It was not founded on the basis of slavery. All these things are lies, but they're being taught to our children. And so they're going to sow division. They're already sowing division in American society, and that's the idea. And then here again, it's a lose-lose situation, because if we protest, we're terrorists and end up getting tracked by the FBI.
Wow. So the battle over history is really a battle over who we are as a nation.
Very much so. The battle over history is actually a huge part of this. The tearing down of the statues. It's not just that they were targeted because they were slave owners. There were actually instances where in Boston there was a statue of Abraham Lincoln that was taken down. In San Francisco there was a statue of General Grant that was attacked. A statue of Frederick Douglass was also torn down. These people were not going after slave owners because they didn't like slavery or racism. They were going after America's very heritage itself. The idea is to make us ashamed of being American and to think that our whole history is tainted. And then a people who is ashamed of its own identity will not defend that identity or heritage and is ready for it to be replaced by something else.
So what is the end game of all this?
Marxism, a totalitarian state. That's the plan. That's what they want here. Whether they'll succeed, I doubt it. But certainly that is clearly what the agenda is.
I don't want that, because there's not one square inch on the planet that anybody can point to and say, hey, look, this is where Marxism was good for the people. Maybe it was good for the upper, you know, the creme de la creme, the upper, you know, like the Castro brothers, but not everybody else in Cuba.
Well, you're absolutely right, Jerry. And that's the same thing here now, that we have these elite groups, these oligarchies, like the big tech people, the people who run the big tech organizations, and the other people who are running things, and they have the rights and the privileges that the Constitution guarantees, but the rest of us don't. It's just at the sufferance of those in power.
Okay, we have about 1 minute left. What do you want to say in conclusion about the whole Sumter gamut, and where can people get information about the book? At jihadwatch.org?
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's at Jihad Watch. It's at conservativereaders.com. It's not on Amazon yet, so don't go there and then think, oh, I can't find it. Sumter Gambit is at conservativereaders.com, and it is a comprehensive guide to what exactly the left is trying to do now and what we need to do about it.
You know what's kind of interesting? You know when Jay Leno or Jesse Waters or whatever, they'd go out on the streets and they would just interview man on the streets about, you know, basic stuff about history, you know, like who were we fighting when we celebrate July 4th? Who was it that we were at war with, you know, and Germany, you know, the people answer all these things. How many people even know what Sumter is, you know, Fort Sumter?
You're absolutely right. They don't. And that's part of the problem. We need to understand, well, you know, the old adage, those who do not remember history will be condemned to repeat it. And here we are.
That's so interesting. It's interesting to me, too, because I've interviewed you through the years almost exclusively about Islam. But it seems like these are almost like co-belligerents, you know, in tearing down America.
Oh, very much so, Jerry. Yeah. The left loves Islam. It's its favorite religion. And people have asked me over the years, why on earth is that? And the answer is very clear, because they're both authoritarian systems that want total control over every aspect of your life. And so Islam lends itself to authoritarian rule. Muhammad said, obey the ruler, even if he's an Ethiopian with a head like a raisin, which is often quoted because of its racism. But I think it's also important because it's a gateway to authoritarianism, and it explains why there's never been a free secular republic in an Islamic context, with the partial exception of Turkey, which is re-Islamizing now.
Wow.
And so if you've got a bunch of authoritarian socialists and they know they can't stamp out religion, maybe they chose one that they like best because it fits their goals. And I think that's why they love Islam.
All right, Robert Spencer, thanks so much for being with us. Jihadwatch.org for more information. All the best, Robert. Thank you.
Thank you.